And this passage is going to help define what that love is. So read with me, verse 27. It says, "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you." Definition of love, simply, is to have a warm regard and interest for someone and to express that affection in your deeds. It says do good, definition of that, bring benefit to somebody. Bless, it says, that's to say something positive, like encouragement or compliments. Pray, it says, for your enemies, to ask God to benefit the person. It's a pretty comprehensive definition here of love. When you love somebody, you care about them, you pray for them, you serve them. And it's emotional, it's physical, it's social, it's financial, it's spiritual. When you love somebody, you're all in, right? Now, here's the rub, though. Jesus is telling his disciples to love their enemies who hate them and curse them and mistreat them. The people who mock them and gossip about them and despise them and abuse them. Now, if you've been tracking with us through Luke, we've been seeing this continuum where Jesus is calling his disciples to love the outcast, love the leper, right? And then we see love the sinner, people who aren't loving God, aren't walking with God. Love those kind of people too. And he keeps walking down this continuum, and now we get to, guess who else you got to love? The people who hate you, who try to hurt you, your enemies. Here's a definition of an enemy. Someone who hates you and wants to do you harm. That's what the different dictionary says, okay? Love those kind of people, Jesus says. My guess is that we don't have those kind of people, many of us, in our lives who are actually trying to hurt us or kill us. I was talking to Sonny about some of the persecution there in India and some of the horrible things that have happened to church planters even because of people who hate them and want to kill them and have succeeded on occasion in killing them. I was talking to my son Henry about this kind of stuff the other day and explaining to him about Sudan and how there was just a mass killing of Christian parents particularly, and 20,000 kids were orphaned. This was decades ago, the lost boys of Sudan. And Henry was angry. He was angry. He wanted to see justice. He told me he wanted to sort of fly in there like a superhero and just kill the killers, right? Take over. And when he was thinking about this idea of loving your enemies, he just laughed. He said, "You got to be kidding me." And it's hard, you know, for us, we get used to this sort of love your enemies and it's sort of this bland Christian command. But for those with fresh eyes like Henry or Sonny or those who are in this, this is a tremendously hard, even bordering on ridiculous kind of command. We get so used to this, but we need fresh eyes to see the depth that Jesus is calling us to. In fact, one ancient Greek writer, Lysias, wrote, "I consider it established that one should do harm to one's enemies and be of service to one's friends." That's the norm, right? Jesus was suggesting something crazy. Reminds me of the joke. A preacher was preaching on loving enemies, and after a very compelling message calling his people to love their enemies, he asked his congregation, "Now, how many of you have forgiven your enemies?" No, I should have asked that at the end of my message today. And everyone raised their hands except this one small elderly lady. And he said to her, "Mrs. Jones, are you not willing to forgive your enemies?" "I don't have any," she replied, smiling sweetly. "Mrs. Jones, that's very unusual. How old are you?" 93, she said. "Oh, Mrs. Jones, what a blessing and a lesson to us all you are. Would you please come down here in front of this congregation and tell us how a person, 93 years old, cannot have an enemy in the world?" She tottered down the aisle and faced the congregation and said, "I outlive the old hags." There's no question, right? Loving your enemies is difficult. It's difficult. Now, to make matters worse, things are going to get even more difficult in our passage today. Look with me at verse 29. What does Jesus say? He says, "If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also." Someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. One commentator writes that that blow on the right cheek was the most grievous insult in the ancient Near East. But you know, I don't think Jesus is just talking about insults here. In Matthew's similar account to this one, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." It's this radical non-retaliation and self-sacrifice. It's not getting revenge. It's not allowing fights to escalate and taking an eye for an eye. It reminds me of the old statement that an eye for an eye and the whole world would be blind. No, it's a love that is willing to hurt and be hurt in order to love. Similarly, look at what he says next. He says, if someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Okay, so he's literally saying, if someone takes your outer garment, let him also have your undershirt. Okay, when's the last time you heard somebody say that? Make sure did you give him your undershirt too when you were helping? It's this radical self-sacrifice again. One commentator thinks that Jesus' point is not so much being passive when robbed as it is being compassionate for another's need. If someone needs to steal a coat, then perhaps that person also needs your shirt. Offer your enemies two cheeks instead of one. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying offer them two pieces of clothing instead of one. And now, look with me in verse 30. He says, give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. There's a tough one. Someone steals from you, don't demand it back. Again, radical self-sacrifice. In fact, he takes it to the next level and says, give to everyone who asks you. Now, you read a passage like this and you think that to follow Jesus, you have to be abused, penniless, and naked. But that's what Jesus is saying. I don't think it is what he's saying. I think his point is verse 31. Read that with me. It says, do to others as you would have them do to you. There's a verse we should all have memorized. In strong language, see, Jesus is setting up this ethic. He's going after their primary human sin, which is selfishness. We merely think about doing unto others as we would have done unto us. We don't care about others. We tend to use them often. And Jesus' words shock us back into reality and says, guess what? Loving others is more important than your own needs. That sometimes in order to best love someone, you have to absorb some slaps in the face. You know, you have to be taken advantage of sometimes. You not only have to give the coat off your back, but your undershirt too, in order to do unto others as you would have them do to you. You see, love is not just this thing we feel, but it's a commitment. For the last, the lost, the least, and our enemies. Now, I don't have time to go into all of the reasons why I don't think that Jesus is saying that to be most Christian, you must be abused, robbed, homeless, and stripped. Okay? But let me just throw out a bunch of stuff at you in a fire hose here and give you some of my reasons why I don't think so. I think he's attacking one side of the coin here, selfishness. But surely there are many other evils that on the other side of the coin that Jesus simply doesn't take the time to deal with here. For example, the evil of enabling people and feeding their addictions. The evil of finding self-worth and being a martyr. The evil of a government not wielding the power of justice, but just turning the other cheek to evil and allowing it to run rampant. We don't have time to go into all of the many scriptures that allow fleeing from evil people who are trying to hurt you. Or that many times that the New Testament leaders insisted upon their legal rights instead of being persecuted to the full extent that they could have been. Or the scriptures that tell us not to give money foolishly our pearls to pigs. Or to lazy people without insisting that they work. Okay, all kinds of verses that need to qualify Jesus' statements here. But the thrust of it is clear. Let me just give you one verse to sort of say what I'm saying here. Remember what happened to Jesus in John 18 when he was slapped in the face? John 18:22, and he was questioned by the high priest. Jesus said this. One of the officials nearby struck him in the face. And Jesus replied, "If I said something wrong, testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, then why did you strike me?" See how Jesus kindly confronts the slap, actually, and doesn't say, "Here's my other cheek." We see clearly that he's speaking in a hyperbole for a point here. And that is, the point is, do unto others as you would have them do to you. That little phrase is aptly named the golden rule. Golden, because it's valuable. Reminds me about the $1 million highway out in Colorado. Maybe you guys have, some of you guys from Colorado have ridden on that $1 million highway. You know why it's called that? It's called that because when you make a highway, of course, you got to fill in low spots, right? Lots and lots, and you got to bring it together. And where they got their fill from was the gold mines. It was all the leftover stuff that the miners had gone through and gotten all the gold out of. And so they used it to do the road. But guess what? The miners, this was years and years ago when they didn't have the technology they had. And there was no doubt lots and lots of gold dust in that highway fill. It's a valuable, valuable stuff under there. Okay. And so it is with the golden rule. It's one of the most valuable things that the Lord has given us, and yet we often treat it just like a highway or something not valuable. It's valuable. Treat others as you want to be treated, as my dad said over and over and over growing up, which apparently means I needed that correction. I apparently wasn't a perfect kid, since I remember him saying to me over and over and over, treat others as you want to be treated. And it's the foundation of society. It's the foundation of marriage, of relationships, right there. Jesus' golden rule. He wasn't the first to teach it. Others had taught versions of it, including Confucius and others before him. But he is the first God in the flesh representative telling us this is God's heart for humankind. Look with me at verse 32 now. Jesus goes on to say, "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full." All right, let me tell you a little bit about their economy and the way that things worked back then. The way things worked back then is, this is the Roman manners code. It went like this. Every gift has to be repaid. Okay? Someone invites you over, you invite them over. Someone gives you a gift, you have to return their gift. In fact, political structure was even run this way, where somebody would take control and they would give all the gifts to the people, and then the people would have to pay homage and respect and honor their leader and all this kind of stuff. Okay, so this is the way life worked. Repay every gift. Not too much unlike our honor code, right? In America, I mean, generally, this is how we view life, right? Right now, you can probably think of various friends who have had you over and who you should really have them over. Or coming up in your schedule, you can think of the grad parties and the family birthday parties and the anniversary parties, the retirement parties, the home shows, all this kind of stuff that they did it for you. Now you got to do it for them. And so it's in your calendar all summer long. You got all of these things you have to do. Repaying, 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 repaying. It's kind of like this wheel, this hamster wheel that just keeps going. We're just repaying and repaying and repaying. And Jesus steps into, he like sticks the finger in the wheel. Right? And he says, "What about the people who can't repay?" You see, virtually everybody is nice to the people who are nice to them. But Jesus is saying, don't expect God to be impressed if all we do is repay the same as everybody else. I mean, that's just normal. He says, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? He's saying, you think God's going to give you credit and reward for just doing what any decent human being does? No. You got to care about the people who aren't on the wheel, who can't repay. Our response is to be different. That's what really makes God happy. You know, not this doing things with strings attached. It's loving poor, loving enemies. That's Christianity. You know, I got a you know, there's a ruler here that's been part of the deal. And there's all kinds of rules by which we live by in our life. Let's go back to the first one here, the common sense rule. That's kind of what we read here in our thing, is that most people, I mean, common sense is you do to others as they do to you, right? I mean, even people who say there's no rules for me, I do whatever I want. The truth is they basically tend to do that rule. They do to others as they do to them. Nice to their friends, mean to their enemies, right? That's a rule that they live by for life. There's another rule that people live by. It's the manipulator rule, right? We live by this sometimes. If we're honest with ourselves, I think that we do to others in order for them to do for us. We use and manipulate. But Jesus says, you know, these are not the rules. You know, these rules of, actually Aristotle taught that manipulator rule was the right way of ethics. This is how you live your life. You know, do good to others so they'll do good to you. Okay. Jesus says, nope, that's not it. This is how you do. Do to others as you would have them do to you. The golden rule. Okay. That's the rule to live life by, to measure life by, to be the standard by which all life is measured. That's what it is. Golden rule. Do to others as you would do, as you would have them do to you. Leonard Sweet adds an even greater rule, which I find interesting. He adds the titanium rule. Do to others as Jesus has done for you. Love that. In fact, that's the key to unlocking all of this. I don't want you to leave church and feel like you got your sort of weekly preaching at.
Go love people.
The key to this is what Jesus has done for us. That he's loved us. That he's shown us this love for enemies. The Bible says we were his enemies. And he loved us anyway. He even died for us. We're on the other side of that transforming love. And so this Jesus who was willing to be ripped apart for you and me, the one who said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. That's the kind of love we've experienced. And so it's powerful. Let me just tell a quick story about a love like this. There was a guy by the name of Kim Shin-jo in January of 1968 who was like a North Korean assault commando, part of a team of 31 commandos sent into South Korea to kill their president. And in the skirmish that happened, they got very close to the president, and almost all of the North Korean commandos died, but Kim Shin-jo was captured. And in his captivity and interrogation, he was surprisingly, get this, befriended by a South Korean leader, general, actually. And in that friendship that started to develop, his hard heart started to soften. Later, he would confess, I tried to kill the president. I was the enemy, but the South Korean people showed me sympathy and forgiveness. I was touched and moved. You see, it didn't stop with the general who loved on Kim Shin-jo and befriended him. But after they released him, they allowed him to become part of their own military in South Korea. Not only that, they allowed him to become a citizen, to marry, to raise a family, and even become a church pastor later down the line. This enemy who tried to kill their president, despite his sins, despite deserving a death sentence, he was transformed by love. And of course, that's what Jesus did for us. We are Kim Shin-jo, maybe not quite the commando ability. You know, I don't know about you, but just kidding. But we're his enemy, and he's loved us, and he's transformed us. And God calls us to give that away. As Martin Luther King Jr. said on a different occasion, love is the only thing that can turn an enemy into a friend. You know, it's not only Jesus' example that does this for us, it's also what he does in us, okay? That he gives us new birth into his family and empowers us to love like he does. That's the reason that our response is different. It's because that we are different. Look with me at verse 35. But love your enemies, Jesus says. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High because he is kind to you. to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Have you noticed something about God? God is not just nice to the people who love Him. Have you noticed this? You know any like really rich people who just hate God? God is nice to all kinds of people. This is who God is. He's merciful on the wicked. He's kind. And so Jesus is reminding us that's who God is. And so He's saying, sons of God show that same kind of love. They show the same kind of love. We talked about this lots of times. If we're truly God's kids, then our lives and actions will show that. We will look like Him. I looked up on the internet a mother-daughter look-alike contest down in St. Louis, and here's some of the winners of that mother-daughter. There's this one. There's three more. Here's the next one. Here's the next one. And here's the next one. Now, you can tell where they belong, right? That's their mom. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, do you look like your dad? Is your life characterized by God's radical love for those who don't love Him, who hate Him even? Does it show this radical self-serving love? You know, if God, who is the smartest guy, right, if He is wise and He treats people like that, shouldn't we? We're not nearly as smart as Him. In fact, many scriptures tell us if we look more like Satan than God, then maybe Satan is our father. You know, it's kind of like the old joke, you know, if you look like the mailman, you know, nothing like your dad, you know, you should check your birth certificate, right? That God, Jesus is saying here, look there, it says that sons of God, that's how we show that we're sons of God, is by our actions. And that question, of course, is the most important question of all, okay? Are you a son of God? Are you a daughter of God? Have you asked Jesus to be your Savior? Have you asked Him to forgive you and change you? That's the question for all eternity. Are you going to spend eternity with Him or eternity apart from Him? And if you are a son of God and you're living in this love and you're experiencing His transformation in your life, guess what? Jesus says, verse 35, look there, it says, your reward will be great. Your reward will be great. You know, living for God now is hard, but it's a crazy rewarding place to be for the next thousands of years, okay? I can guarantee it. That's why Sonny's church planters and Sonny himself and the fields, and they're doing what they're doing. They're saying, you know, like Jim said last week, the upfront pay in Christianity is not great, but the retirement benefits are amazing, okay? Right? That's the Christian life. Your reward will be great. It's far worth far more than the sacrifice. So don't be afraid to sacrifice. Since your retirement plan is coming, you don't have to retaliate. You don't have to hold a grudge. You don't have to hate your enemies. You don't have to hang on to every evil thing that has ever been done to you in your life. You can forgive it. You can love. You can find that freedom, not being caught in those chains. And you can love with your life. You can experience this. You know, it's not just the right thing to do. It's not just good to look like your dad. It's not just good to help others. There's a reward in it, in this kind of lifestyle. It's amazing. The Bible says this repeatedly, like Proverbs 19:17. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will reward him for what he has done. So, church, a passage like this is a tough one. It's a tough one. And may God help us. We need His help if we're going to do this thing, to show Jesus' love like this. It's beyond our capability, that's for sure. But let's bring it home to our own lives, okay? How can we treat others as we want to be treated? Let me ask you, in your marriages, you know, what do you... You have needs that you want met. You know, so does your spouse. Meet those needs for them. Treat them as you want them to be treated. And do you want to be valued and respected, maybe in your job or in your family? Show that respect and value to others. Treat others as you want to be treated. We want others to be patient with us and love us despite our faults. Let's be patient with others. We want people to befriend us. You know, as our church is growing, you know, we may feel like we're slipping through the cracks and we don't have friends or something. Befriend others. Treat others as you want to be treated. And finally, do you want your family to have enough food? Want your family to have enough health care? Treat others as you want to be treated. Help the poor. Give to those who need it. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we love you. We thank you that you have loved us so incredibly. If there's anybody here who has never become a child of you, Lord, I pray that right now they would. They would ask you, Jesus, to forgive their sins and make them your child, to change their life. Lord, for all of us, would you help us, oh God, to forgive and love and give and give and forgive and give again. Lord, help us to look just like our dad. We pray. In Jesus' name, amen.